The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello and welcome to this third talk on kusala, the Pali word that can be translated as wholesomeness, or skillfulness. And yesterday I talked about how in meditation, especially the word skill and skillfulness is particularly useful as a translation of kusala, this very important Buddhist word. But today I want to talk about how in some contexts it works better to translate it as wholesome. And in general, these days, I prefer wholesomeness as a generic or the general translation of this word. And some people have a little negative relationship with the word wholesome. I think the older generation that grew up with advertisements for Wonder Bread that was considered to be wholesome, this white bread that maybe was used too much in commercials. But the wholesome, for me, has a number of associations that are inspiring. One is that I interpret it to mean part of the whole. And the idea of feeling whole, with all of ourselves included, a sense of wholeness that is not possible if we're stuck and preoccupied with certain thoughts, certain feelings, certain attitudes, certain preoccupations, certain fears. And when we're preoccupied and caught and not whole, we don't have access to the full working of our human intelligence. And some things can seem like they have a great priority. We have to focus and be fixated on some things, which is true sometimes in the present moment. But when the fixations around things are no longer about what's here and present, we actually end up limiting ourselves more often than not. Limiting this full intelligence, full ways in which all of who we are comes together and works together in a one harmonious kind of event. And so this idea of whole and in the entirety, sometimes the word sabha, all, is used for that in Pali. Sometimes the word kevala is used for the whole, the entirety. And sometimes the word kaya, sometimes it means body, but it means, it's more like the English word body sometimes means the body of work, the entire work that someone has written, for example. And so there's the mental kaya, the physical kaya, the whole that we hear, the dharma kaya, the whole experience of dharma within us. So wholesome belong to the whole, but also in English, the word wholesome is very closely connected to healthy. And healthy is something that can be an abstract idea and wish for activity, but healthy also can be an embodied feeling. You can feel like we're really healthy. And it's not an idea, it's not a thought. We might think about it. But the source of that, the evidence for feeling healthy, comes when there's certain vitality within us, a certain energy that's aliveness that keeps us maybe uplifted a little bit. There's a flow of something that feels very clean or healthy through us. I imagine different people can feel the experience of health in different ways. In meditation, even when we're conventionally sick or ill or have a cold, in meditation, there can still be a flow of something that feels nourishing and healthy in the whole meditation posture, meditating, when there's a harmony and a flow and a unification of all the different kind of capacities and faculties are coming together here, just here. We're not divided from ourselves. And so the word nourishment sometimes works. Sometimes the word cleanliness, the Buddha talked about embodied cleanliness. The Buddha talked about an overflowing of kusala, overflowing of this wholesomeness. And so there the idea of flow is very closely connected to. There's some sense of inner sensory flow that moves through us, energetic flow or vibrative flow or vitality flow. And the idea is overflowing suggests that it's abundant. And sometimes, in fact, the Buddha talks about the wholesomeness, these wholesome characteristics, sensations, feelings, qualities of what we have, becoming abundant. And it isn't just here and there by accident. The Buddha actually encourages a sense of cultivating a sense of abundant wholesomeness within us. That once we know what's wholesome to do in our lives, the wholesome states, the wholesome attitudes, the wholesome activities, stay close to that and let that grow and fill you. He uses the language being filled with wholesomeness, having a sense of abundance with what wholesome. So there's a feeling here not of denial, not of denying ourselves or diminishing ourselves or not availing ourselves of what's really healthy and good. This sense of abundance is sometimes called an inner wealth. And letting go in Buddhism, which is such an important thing to do, don't mean let go of everything. When the Buddha talked about letting go, he used the word renunciation in this passage. He said, I don't teach you to renounce everything. I teach you to, if you renounce and it decreases the unwholesome in you and increases the wholesome, I encourage you to renounce. If it increases the unwholesome and decreases the wholesome, don't renounce it. But if renouncing decreases the unwholesome and increases the wholesome, then renounce it. So the idea of renouncing is not meant to be a principle, let go of everything. It's meant to be done with a reference point to do so in a way what's good for you, what's nourishing for you, or brings a sense of this wholesomeness. And one of the reasons I like to translate kusala as wholesome rather than skillful is that skillful sometimes is value-free. It's just it's not connected to our inner ethical sensibilities. Sometimes skillful is for a purpose, to develop a skill, whereas the wholesome is good in and of itself. It doesn't need to have a purpose. To have a feeling of of generosity flow through us. It doesn't have to be expressed as a generosity. It's just good to be generous, to be kind, to be loving. It's just a healthy, wholesome state. And it can just feel in meditation. It doesn't need to be enacted or nothing has to happen. It's just a healthy thing in and of itself. Mindfulness can be very wholesome. In and of itself, it doesn't deeply need to be there for a purpose. It doesn't need to be part of a skill building thing. It's just good and healthy and nourishing in and of itself right now. So part of meditation, part of Buddhist practice, is to be able to recognize within ourselves the embodied physical sensory feelings of wholesome and unwholesome, what's nourishing and not nourishing, what enlivens us in a healthy, good, nice way, and what does the opposite, what deadens us maybe sometimes. And the body becomes a very fine-tuned reference point for what is healthy for us and what is not healthy for us. And that can be a reference point that helps us to understand and helps us make decisions about what to do, what to say, how to be in the world. It might not be the overriding thing, but it's part of the taking in the rich sense evidence that the present moment provides us to help us find our way. And and for the Buddha, one of the most important one of the most important reference points is, in fact, our ability to discern the difference between what is wholesome and unwholesome. And it's not a distraction from our life. It's actually what allows us to live our life fully, whatever we're doing. Whatever we're doing, we live it with that sense of wholeness. All of ourselves comes into it, the wholeness, but in a way that is nourishing for ourselves. And if it's not nourishing for ourselves, why do it that way? Why keep doing something which is denourishing? Why do something which doesn't support the wholeness of who we are, the healthiness of who we are? Why do we feel we have to sacrifice that for any kind of reason, all kinds of reasons why? For the Buddha, the ability, as I said, the ability to discern what is wholesome, healthy, nourishing, gives us a feeling of abundance, goodness, is a phenomenally useful intelligence, capacity. And it's a capacity and ability that resides in that place where awareness and sensations come together, in the place that exists between them in relationship to them. And so it's not just being aware of things that's important. It's useful to be aware of what's going on and be aware of this kind of the space between the interaction. What happens? What comes alive in between sensing and sensations, in between knowing and the sensation? And one of the things that can come alive and be there is this sensory, almost sensory, it's not quite the sensations, but it feels like sensation sometimes, of wholesomeness, goodness. One teacher I know likes to call it, in certain ways, a sweetness within, a cleanliness within. And and so that belongs to this world of here and now, what can be perceived directly, what's inviting inspection, what's inviting us, come here, stay close to this. And it's onward leading. It kind of leads to more wholesomeness, allows it to grow, or guides us to how to go forward with it. So kusala as wholesome. So you might today go through the day and maybe periodically, maybe have some reminder periodically, and just kind of reflect, is how you're doing what you're doing wholesome? Is what you're doing healthy and nourishing for you? Or could you do it in a more wholesome way? Could you do it in a more healthy, nourishing, beneficial way? Can you do it in a way that makes your body smile, makes your heart smile? Ah, doing it this way feels good. So thank you very much. And we'll continue this topic of kusala tomorrow.